1, 2, 3.
Before we have the Pledge of Allegiance, I've asked Eugene Bain to offer a word of prayer for tonight's meeting.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day, and we thank you for the opportunity to serve you and the community, Lord, and bless this meeting in your name.
Yeah. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. You may be seated. Item 1.3 on our agenda is the roll call. We have all of our council members are present, except for the vacancy now by Dan Deaver. His funeral will be next week from this Saturday on the 21st. Item 1.4 on our agenda is citizen input. The City Council at the last meeting adopted new rules for citizen input. In essence, if you have something that you want to speak or address the Othello City Council, you have up to 5 minutes to speak to either an item on the agenda or off the agenda. And you just simply need to raise your hand and come to the microphone, state your name and address, and your business. So I'm going to give preference first to Katrina Simmons, who has requested time to be on the city under this section of the agenda. So Katrina and her husband Don.
This is too scary, but
hi, I'm Don Simmons, Martina. We own our 420 North 4th in Othello is where we live. We own a house in Othello located at 138 South 10th. It's been in our family since around 1967. Recently, we've had sewer problems there. The house has a sewer hookup in the alley on the north side of the house. We believe our problem started because of the City of Othello's broken coupling at the main alley sewer line. We've been told this was not the first sewer issue in Othello's alleys. Not the first many. There have been others, and that garbage trucks running down the alleys have caused these problems. It's what we've been told by numerous people. We are here asking the city to pay for the alley sewer repairs and tell the story of our problems dealing with the City of Othello. Since I work in Pasco, my wife has had to deal with these problems that we've had with the city, so she is going to tell her story, and we may need a few more than 5 minutes, or can we just ask for that then? Tell us.
I'm just going to start. In the beginning, the estimate on our sewer bill was going to be between $3,000 and $4,000. The sewer comes off the side of the house and goes straight over to the, through the alley to the city sewer line. Nobody can tell me where our line came into the city sewer line at all, as a shot in the dark. Joe Tolley was nice enough to come with his divining rods or whatever they're called.
Put us in the wrong spot.
We dug one day in the wrong spot. Then I discovered that Rod Heiss with TP Septic has a tracer. Thank God. When I could get Rod there, he did do the trace through the pipes and marked it in the alley, so at least we were digging in the right spot. We started to dig, we dug, which is scary, scary, scary. It's like finding a needle in a haystack and worse. We did find my pipe on my property, our property. When I say mine, it's ours. The backhoe tooth broke my pipe, which was fine because I thought I was doing the sewer repair anyway.
We have a lot of
but there's a snake. I have a lot of pictures, but
and we have
I was told
a daily log of how things went.
But there's no time, and I was told to make it short and sweet.
We got a report back from what the city of Othello's version of what happened was. They went by our log and then
wrote up their own.
Changed a lot of things.
And I'm not going to point fingers, but this has been really frustrating. I had to meet with Mr. Ferris one time. I had to meet with Mr. Ferris and Mr. Logan one time to finally get the city there to do the repair on their city sewer line.
The gist of the whole thing is the coupling at the main alley sewer was split and broken.
Mr. Clemens was nice enough to, nice enough to blow up my picture. I was there daily when this was being done. We had a snake go through. The snake couldn't go through because the coupling is all busted out on the side. Mr. Clemens tries to say that the snake broke the coupling, blah, blah, blah. Drum snakes were invented in 1935. They've only been improved since then. There's no busted pieces in the ground of this pipe. It's deteriorated.
What we're trying to say is that the coupling was split completely down the side, and our pipe was busted down. And
our pipe is dropped
wasn't
down.
Wasn't even hooked up into it at that point.
Okay. We had to dig around the city sewer to the city sewer line, but we also had to dig around the city water line. Which, who wants to do that?
Well, in the alley, there's the main alley sewer line would be on the
north side. It's almost to the neighbor's house.
And about a foot from that is the gas line. It's only about a foot down. The water line is just about, three feet south of that. So you've got a real narrow area, and you have to be very careful. Our hole was pretty large because we were searching for our pipe. It was made pretty large.
Continuously from Terry Clemens and the Water Works Department, and I'm sorry I have to pick on Terry, but he's the go-to man. He's the one I had to go to. Don't break the water line. Don't break the water line. And when you get to the city sewer line, you have to fix it. It's your repair. My contractor did fantastic doing all this digging. It's scarier than scary. I could flood everybody in the town. I could have blown up everybody in the town.
They did everything right. They had a spotter. They had a small excavator. It was very good. And when he got down to where...
They dug by hand with a shovel, and he was there too.
Yeah, they dug and everything. They did not break the city coupler. That is the way it was hand dug.
Excuse me, just a moment.
Right. Yeah.
Do you think you could... Can I ask you, I just want to ask you a question. Do you think you could state for the council what it is you would like the council to do?
Yeah, I have
stated that.
I have a $23,000 sewer bill.
And
who can afford that?
The whole problem was caused by the garbage trucks running down the alley. We submitted this to our insurance. They said because was shown that the garbage trucks caused it, they wouldn't pay it. So we submitted
insurance that
who did not even address the trucks running over it. They just said, well, there was no blockage in the alley.
No blockage in the city sewer line.
So there was no problem.
The blockage isn't there because our pipe is dropped down. Our crap, excuse me, cannot even go into the city sewer line. The stuff was starting to come into our house.
The point is we've been told that these alley issues have been going on for a while, and then they continue to go on. In fact, our
plumber right now can't be here.
15 Juniper working
in the alley.
Sewer alley.
Same thing. Okay.
So
we're after. My contractor's bill was a little over $19,000. I had to put a family in a motel for 12 days. It took a total of 15 days to get the job done. The city wanted shoring put in. This is not a trench. This was as wide as this room. We put the trench in. I went and rented it. The city, when finally meeting with the mayor and Mr. Ferris, mayor apologized for the city and for himself, and they got a crew there the next morning. It was fixed in 4 hours. And they took the shoring out and didn't use it because they said it was too small. Well, it has hydraulic hookups on it that you expanded out.
You
have a city water line and you have a gas line, you're limited. But if you have an opening, you can walk in it.
So basically, I know there's a lot. This is very complex, and I've read the report.
You guys are still probably know all about it. I don't know. I don't know if you know if these guys know all about it.
I'm about to ask. So to summarize, what you're asking is, you have a $23,000 bill.
We need some help. Mm-hmm. We had to go get a home equity line of credit on our own home to pay the bill.
But
my fear is, what if it's a young couple that just bought a home and this happens? They'd have to walk away from their house.
And if this is a common issue in Othello, because of the alleys and because of the garbage trucks right up there, and there have been, we've been told, half a dozen that the city's paid for. I know of one where it was paid for completely from the alley to the house because of that reason. So it's not like we're new asking for anything. This is apparently a common issue.
And the only time that I totally appreciated Mr. Clemens was when he said, don't bring the asbestos concrete pipes above ground.
Bury it.
If you do, you have to take it 4 hours away to get rid of it. Bury it. That's okay. The
basically,
main help that he was.
His report.
But everything was, you fix
much
it.
Opposite of
you
everything
fix
that
it.
We've said in ours.
And you guys, as private citizens, do you want to touch a city water line? Do you want to touch a city sewer line?
Well,
you can't go shut off your water at your meter without getting fined, but you'll let people dig around the city utilities.
Yeah,
it's insane.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
I'm sorry, I'm going to need to stop your testimony, but
and
the
now
situation
my contractor
is,
has a bill I just found out
yeah.
a few minutes ago of almost $3,000
from
the
city for doing the repair.
For damaging, and then
the city would fix it because of the municipal code that we brought up that said that the city shall repair and install the couplings to the sewer line. Now, if you got a bill for $3,000 because they repaired the coupling at the city sewer.
I couldn't afford this. My husband's getting ready to retire. This may change that.
It's amazing to me.
If I lived in Jeannie Doro's house, she won't have the issue of the water line because it's on the other side of the sewer line. If you come from your backyard, you'll go straight to your city sewer line. You don't have to go through and around and under the water line.
So I'm trying to get something for nothing.
Yeah.
This is an income property that you own, that you've had in the family for a long time.
We
but
did.
It
is,
my parents' house.
But it is an income property. Correct.
It's a rental home.
We,
but yeah,
my daughter lives in the house.
My family's in it.
So it's somewhere.
Okay. Thank you very much for your testimony. Is there anyone from staff?
We need an answer because we need to know where to go with this from here.
Okay. So
seriously.
Is there anyone from staff who wants to make comment?
Everything material stays in the report.
Okay.
It's in there. Our insurance company did the evaluation. We have to turn it over to them and that's up to council based on what's in the report.
And the Washington insurance carrier denied the claim?
They said there was no blockage on the same sewer line.
They didn't address the truck.
They didn't address what happened.
Okay.
It's in the letter.
Question, how deep is the sewer line?
70 feet.
13 feet down.
13 feet from the surface? I don't believe a garbage truck is affecting the pipe that's 13 feet deep. How deep is it then?
7 to 7.5.
Well, 7 feet is pretty deep too.
Yeah, and here's our insurance. It was in our insurance if you want to look at it.
Has the council seen the report?
No.
Same carries.
I would just recommend that if this is the first one I've heard of this potential claim, that I would suggest that...
Catherine, can you get on the microphone, please?
This is the first that I've heard about this claim, and since the council has received apparently a report from its staff, a denial from its insurance carrier, and what I'm hearing sounds a lot like a potential claim, there is a process for a claim to be filed. It sounds like that has been started and is midway through that process, so I don't think it's appropriate at this point for the council to attempt to make a decision in response to their request tonight. I think that the process that you are currently in will provide them with the answer as soon as it's available.
Okay, so can you clarify that for the Simmonses?
Are you taking it further with the insurance?
Well, that's a decision that the council will have to address, but I would like the opportunity to consult with council as it makes a decision about where it wants to go in terms of forward from the insurance carrier's denial. I haven't seen the report from our staff, nor have I seen the factual evidence that the parties have that they've put together. And I would like an opportunity to look at that before I give the council my opinion.
Okay.
We did request some information on the repairs to other alley sewer line situations, and it may or may not be given to us depending on the new law that you guys just passed.
You'll get that.
We got a letter that said we may not.
I'm just saying you may or may not.
If it's available, you'll get it.
Okay.
And that's about mine. It makes him a lot bigger.
Can I ask one more question? Do you have all the stuff I sent, the file that was sent to the insurance? Did you get it back, or did you keep copies of everything?
We have a copy.
Everything, because Terry used my pictures.
Okay.
So you have everything for her then.
I think what we're saying tonight to the Simmonses is that it's very unfortunate how this whole situation unfolded, and we don't have enough information to make a decision. We need to consult with our legal counsel, and so rather than take a vote right now with partial information, I think that at this point, you don't have a no from the city. You have a decision that needs to be made, and the city will make that decision, and you'll receive an answer. And I would anticipate no later than the 23rd meeting in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. Moving along. Is there any other citizen that would like to be recognized tonight to address the Othello City Council? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on to item 2, the approval of the agenda. This time I'd entertain a motion to approve tonight's agenda. And I do have an item I would like to add to the agenda, an executive session. So, under potential litigation. Okay, with that change, I need to have you withdraw the motion. You withdraw the motion?
Yes.
Okay. And now I would entertain a motion to adopt the amended agenda tonight.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Okay. Is there any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Consent agenda, item 3. I would entertain a motion to approve our consent agenda tonight.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to adopt our consent agenda. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Moving on to the current business of the Othello City Council, our first item on our agenda is council candidate interviews. We do have an interview tonight, but before I call Larry McCourty to come to the microphone, I just want to read our process again for the public so they know that applications can be obtained on the othellolaw.gov website under applications for boards, commissions, and committees. And we will continue to accept applications until 5 p.m. this coming Monday, June 16, 2014. The city is formulating a series of questions to be asked of each applicant for the council. Questions will be given shortly after application, so the applicants have time to prepare a response. The two applicants that we have so far have been given those questions. The interviews will be conducted in open session on June 9th and June 23rd, and the new city council member will be decided upon after an executive session at the conclusion of the meeting on June 23rd. Okay? Any questions from the council? With that, I'd like to call Larry McCourty to come to the microphone. And our process is each candidate is going to be given 5 minutes for an opening statement. Larry, you can stand or you can sit. It's up to you.
This is fine.
Okay. And then you have received the questions. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And then you've been informed that the mayor will ask an impromptu question. And each answer to each question is going to be approximately 2 minutes. Okay?
Okay.
Very good.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor, City Council. My name is Larry McCourty. I live at 1725 East Catawba. I'm married to my lovely wife, Ann, and we've been married for 55 years. Of those 55, I think we've only been away from the city with Othello just a couple of years, so we have four children, which all graduated from the Othello School District. Some of the services that I have belonged to is ACDC, Equalization, which I don't belong to ACDC now, but right now I belong to the Equalization Board at Adams County. I belong to the City Planning, which I've chaired for the last 4 years. I'm on the Hospital Board. I've been there 14 years. On the committees, I've been the Budget. I've been on the Personnel. Also the finance, so I'm well educated on that. I feel now is the time in my life to advance a step higher and be a part of the city that I have grown up in. One thing that I wanted to say about the planning board is right now we are meeting quarterly. I would hope this would change and be more active with businesses and activity coming to Othello. Okay. You want me to just continue?
Yeah, you still have up to 3 more minutes.
Okay.
If you're done, that's fine.
I'm done.
Okay. The first question given to you tonight, Larry, is to describe your contributions to the city of Othello and or what have you accomplished for the city.
Okay. My personal skill for the city would be that I'm retired. That way I can be on these committee meetings, what have you, without taking off work. So I'm free to do whatever it takes make the job go. I've been in the construction most of my life. Concrete was my main occupation. I was vice president of the company of 6 ready-mix plants for 30 years. So what I'm saying is I'm familiar with concrete, I'm familiar with asphalt, and I hope that I could be a cog in the wheel on that part.
Okay. Second question is, what personal skill or attribute would you bring to the council that would help it govern the city?
Well, I would hope economic growth. Bring in some new businesses, clothing stores, American and Spanish restaurants, so people wouldn't have to travel out of town to do their shopping. My vision is to support new businesses coming to our area. I've lived in Othello most of my life. 15 years ago, we had more businesses running up down Main Street than we have right now. I wish we would have supported them a little better. But that's it.
Question number 3, what is your vision for Othello for the next 5, 10, or 20 years?
Well, having a good job opportunity, keeping our hospitals, schools, and small businesses open for excellent health care and education. One challenge facing Othello and its citizens is the water. Are we looking ahead for new economic growth in the next 5, 10, maybe 15 years? I hope we are. Okay.
Thank you. Question number 4. What do you see as the biggest challenge facing Othello and its citizens today?
Well, that was number 4.
So, what is your vision for Othello for the next 5, 10, or 20 years then?
What is my vision? Well, my vision would be, you know, I want to be able to have the water available for the businesses coming to Othello. Mm-hmm. I really believe that Othello's growing. I think it's going to grow. I would hope that we have set our boundaries right now, so 10 years, we'll be able to just walk in and say, you know, this is what it is, come on in, and we'll do everything we can to help you get your business here. We've got to get work for the people here. You know, it'd be a disaster. John knows this. If one of our little plants would fall down out here, Othello would be in a world of hurt. So we've got to get other people coming in so we wouldn't have that downfall.
Question number 5. If you could change one thing about the city, Larry, what would that be?
Well, that was tough. Well, being chairman of the planning, I would like to see our comprehensive plan updated. I'd like to see our subdivision codes reevaluated so we would have codes for low, middle, and high class housing developments. That's what I can see.
Okay, the impromptu question from the mayor is, and I'll give you a minute to think about it, so you don't have to answer immediately. The city of Othello and the council are looking, or forward-looking into the future, and we want to begin to do some work on our comprehensive plan and some long-range strategic planning. And we are wanting to develop relationships with other entities to advance that cause. What would be your ideas to help the city council include other entities in its long-range planning?
Well, I'm thinking what you're saying is like the county and other entities like that. I guess if what we have is if we've got, say, a planner, or we got whatever we got, and we can get it through another entity and still do the job, that I would be for something like that. You know, I don't know what other entities that maybe you're talking about. You know, being on the hospital board 14 years, if you ask any of you people want to ask me any questions about the hospital, I can tell you right off. But it's tough right now, walking into something like this, that you ask me this question 6 months if I am the lucky one to get picked, and I'll be able to tell you.
Very good. Thank you, Larry. Mm-hmm. Moving on in our agenda, item 4.2, amendment to existing phasing agreement, Ashwood Notch. Darrell has a report.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. For the record, Darrell Piercy, city planner. Before you this evening for consideration is a request to amend the plat and phasing plan for the development known as Ashwood Notch. This may be a development that's familiar to some of you in that it has been before the council on several occasions. First for the initial approval, which was back in 2007, and then subsequent revisions to the plat, generally dealing with the phasing plan because the original owner was not able to effectively market and begin to develop. It was subsequently purchased by Olson Homes in approximately 2012, and at that time he brought the issue before council. The phasing plan was amended, and the development agreement and plat were extended an additional 5 years up to 2017. Phase one, which is located here on the plat map and here in this location, and phase two are currently in development. And if you've been out in that direction, you've seen the houses are going up and is well underway to actually being filled. The developer is wishing to move forward with phase three, and in fact has submitted to the city a development plan for that to demonstrate his and their ability to meet city codes for infrastructure development. So that's currently under review by Public Works. They provided the first set of comments to that development, proposed development plan, and are now moving forward with that review. But in the course of that review, we began to look at these two lots in particular and try to understand how those lots might affect possible improvements to the intersection of Scutney and 14th, which is located at this point and is directly across from the new elementary school. One of the items under consideration for the improvements to 14th involves potentially a roundabout development. If the roundabout were to be developed at this location, it could have potential impacts on this lot and this lot, or perhaps only one. We're just not sure what the overall impact might be to phase three of this development. So in meeting with the contractor on this issue, they have agreed to, and I've lost my pointer, they have agreed to change the phasing plan that would bring phase four in a line that goes north-south at this direction and tie it into phase four here, and just develop phase three absent lot three and lot 20. That poses a few challenges if that were to occur, in that We need to find a way to get scrutinies continued on to 14th and to provide for some safe pedestrian travel as part of that. So what we have looked at in terms of those issues is to develop a temporary access onto 14th Street that would be built to a design that could support vehicle traffic but would not necessarily be built to full city design standards, at least as a temporary measure. And also develop additional temporary pedestrian pathways as we see currently in that area that was done as part of phase two and phase one for Ashwood Notch. And by doing so, we can allow the city time to do appropriate planning for this intersection without the fear of having impacts on these two lots. Phase three can move forward because the developer is anxious to get phase three underway so he can continue to build additional houses that appear to be in demand in the city of Othello. And these two lots would then be part of phase four, which would take place in terms of development at a later time, again giving the city adequate time to provide for proper planning for this intersection. So the proposal before you, or the request before you, is to provide for a phasing plan modification to the Ashwood Notch development so that phase three would eliminate lots 3 and 20, and also that the city would allow for a temporary connection onto 14th Street from Scutney that would be built to a standard that would be approved by the city but not necessarily to full city standards, because we know that within a few years that's going to be taken out and replaced. So that in essence is the proposal before you. It requires city action and approval in order to implement a change to the development plan, and so we're seeking your approval for that this evening.
What conditions are you going to put on the property? How will it be left?
Which property would that be?
8 and 20.
3 and...
No, that's 8.
Oh, excuse me.
8 and 20.
And 20. They would be left in their current condition. They would not be disturbed as part of the development.
Okay.
So they're currently there now in an undisturbed condition, and they would not change until phase four came online.
Okay. Provided that they don't cause any nuisance to the neighbors or...
Yeah, you know, as part of any development, we have dust control measures in place within our code, and if that, for instance, a fugitive dust were to become a problem, we would require that the owner of the property take appropriate steps. That might include such things as hydro seeding or the like, but again, that would already be covered under city code.
It's going to be just kind of a set aside to the following phase for these two lots, so that basically we'll have time to make a decision on what we want to do for the entry for that street.
You've stated it exactly.
All right.
Council, you have any other questions about this proposal to modify the phasing plan for Ashwood Notch? No? No questions? All right. This time I'd entertain a motion to approve the request submitted by Columbia Northeast Engineering on behalf of Olson Homes. Make that motion.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Darrell.
Thank you.
Moving along, item 4.3, Darrell. Request for city participation in Scutney Street.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Again, Darrell Piercy, city planner. This request before you for consideration, again, is dealing with the Ashwood Notch plat and also very specifically phase three of the Ashwood Notch plat. And even more specifically, the improvements that would be normally associated with Scutney Street as it goes through phase three of Ashwood Plat. To give you some background on this topic, Scutney Street extends from First Avenue and beyond, but basically as an arterial from First Avenue with the completion of Scutney Street up to 14th. And it will continue to extend to the east as more development occurs. But as an arterial, we have historically developed Scutney Street out to a wider width than the standard width that's required for residential development. And under our code, the developer is only required to develop the roadway out to that standard residential width. And in this case, because Scooby Street is an arterial and it serves other areas of the city besides just this development, it's in the interest of the city to have Scooby expanded in its overall width, just as we've done in every section to the west up to this point. Now, when the Nazarene Church was developed at this location, they actually constructed a portion of Scooby as part of their requirements for their development, but they did that in association and in conjunction with the Ashford Knox developer, Olson Homes, as well. So they entered into an agreement that allowed this area right here to be developed up to a width of 54 feet. The standard street width for this residential neighborhood would be 40 feet. And these are based on requirements that were in place at the time that this development was vested, which was 2007. So in order to extend Scooby Street at a full width of 54 feet to 14, it would require, under our code, city participation in that additional 14 feet, which is the difference between the standard 40-foot street and the 54-foot street that is at this location on Scooby up to that point. So what the developer is asking is if the city desires to participate in that additional 14 feet, the city code does allow for city participation under these circumstances, and in fact the city did participate in the widening of Scooby at this location to the west, as well as other locations as it was developed on Scooby to the west as well. I think there was at least three occasions where the city has participated in that widening effort. So we have put together some information in regards to what that would cost in relationship to those additional 14 feet, and now have an updated engineer's estimate that's just under $70,000. I believe the estimate was $69,000 and some change with the sales tax. And so we gave an estimate that was about 2 years old in the staff report that identified the $70,000 estimate, but we've lowered that just slightly with the revised engineer's estimate based on today's cost for construction. So the city has no obligation under the code to continue with this widening effort and to pay for the additional 14 feet, but since this is the last leg of that Scooby Street extension at that width, it would seem to have merit to be able to continue that through this phase of the development, so Scooby Street is a completed arterial from 1st to 14th. Again, it would require city's participation and city cost of approximately $70,000 or just shy of that. So what we'd be looking for this evening, if the council agrees, is to move forward with a motion that would allow for city participation. We have checked with our financial officer, who has indicated there is funds available in the city street fund. There was a higher beginning balance this year than anticipated, so apparently those funds are available and not currently allocated, and would be able to cover the cost of this additional widening. You have to respond to any questions.
So in the event the city decided not to do it?
You'd have a street that's built to 40 feet.
Which is what our current subdivision code said.
At the time, the 2007 requirements would have brought that in at 40 feet. I believe they're slightly higher now in today's design standards.
But it's still on our arterial.
Council?
I got a question really quick for Terry. A couple of weeks ago, I think we revisited the arterial widths from 54 to 60.
That's correct.
To bring up the design standards?
That's correct.
Would it affect this?
No, because it was back in 2007 when this was all done up and worked out in the paper.
Okay. So, and I remember doing this with the Nazarene Church. And at the time, I believe we did agree to do, I believe it was half of the additional extra. I believe that's what it was.
For the Nazarene Church, the city participated in the additional 14 feet.
Yeah.
The Nazarene Church did the north half of the street, and I believe the Olson Homes did the south half. And in the middle was the city's 14 feet.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. I'd just like to say I'm in favor of doing the 14 feet just to keep that street the same.
Yeah. It doesn't really make a lot of sense to have an arterial that's 40 feet wide
we're going to have a lot of traffic on that road, so I'm
Yeah, I am too. So where does the sidewalk fall in that 14 feet?
The sidewalk's outside of the 54 feet. Right. So you'd have 54 feet of pavement and then sidewalk.
And then sidewalk. And that's not going to take up too much of the development property?
No, it already allows for a right-of-way that accommodates that additional width.
Okay.
So the plat was designed with a much wider right-of-way than just a standard street section.
So the developer's
in anticipation of an arterial.
The developer's okay with it?
Yes.
Okay.
Council, you have the power to act.
I move to approve the request submitted by Olson Homes Street Improvements to Scootney Street associated with the development of Ashwood Notch Phase 3.
You have a motion?
Second.
You have a motion made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? Clarification? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, Darrell. Let's move on to item 4.4, marijuana zoning moratorium discussion. And Catherine, I understand you intend to lead us in that discussion.
I'd love to. So council, and some of you are new since the council last had to take action on this particular topic, but last year, council adopted an ordinance adopting an interim moratorium on the establishment of any of the I-502 authorized uses within the city limits, the retail sales, the growing, and the processing activities. And we've had, over the last couple of years, several conversations amongst the council about the future policy direction regarding both medical marijuana and the recreational marijuana. So it's time to renew the ordinance or to adopt a different action, depending on what the council wants to do. But I wanted the opportunity to give you my advice from a legal perspective in terms of where the risks currently are in light of where the status of both medical and recreational marijuana lie today. In earlier discussions, I had voiced my concern that if the council took the position of adopting a ban, that it would subject the city to some potential liability with regard to a challenge, and that challenge could become very costly. I'm sorry that an Eastern Washington city is going to be the bearer of that burden, but the city of Wenatchee has been sued as a result of their ban, and as I had anticipated, it's going to be a hallmark case, and not only for the cities, but also for the entire I-502 framework, even potentially having an impact on the legalization of marijuana in other states. So it is a very highly publicized issue. There are a lot of strong opinions on both sides. It's going to be a hard-fought battle, and there's going to be a lot of money spent in taking this issue through the court system. Where it ends up, I don't know, but potentially it could end up in the U.S. Supreme Court, depending on what Wenatchee decides to do. I don't know that Wenatchee is going to withdraw its ban in response to this lawsuit or if it intends to defend. But that said, I think the risk that we've talked about in the past is real, that the plaintiffs, if you will, the plaintiffs on the side of wanting to locate businesses are interested in getting this issue resolved in the courts. And so they will seek a good forum to do that. And as I've indicated earlier, I think forum shopping by the plaintiffs means they're going to be looking at smaller jurisdictions who lack the resources to mount a significant defense. So I think my clients in that regard are particularly vulnerable. So I looked at where the climate in Washington is, and I've given you those numbers at the last MRSC poll, but just briefly for the audience's information, In Washington right now, 70 cities have adopted moratoriums, 46 have adopted some sort of zoning, and 8 have adopted bans. In comparison with the counties, 12 counties have adopted moratoriums, 16 counties have adopted zoning, and 2 counties have adopted bans. Washington right now has a very uncertain legal framework for both recreational and medical marijuana. Both of those issues are currently in pending litigation, and we won't have any answers from the courts on either of those issues feasibly for at least a year, if not longer. The legislature has continued to represent that it intends to revisit both some of the I-502 issues with regard to funding, revenue, and whether or not cities and local jurisdictions have any authority to do something more than what the state has already legislated, and also intends to revisit the issue of medical marijuana in the context of aligning the medical marijuana uses with the recreational marijuana regulation. And I think that the legislature will get something done this session. I don't think they have a choice. Last session was a short session, and they had a lot of other issues that took precedence, and they weren't able to get a majority vote in that short session. But I do have confidence that there will be some action at the next session. So your choices, unfortunately, remain the same. You can opt to do nothing, which means that your existing zoning would take care of whatever regulation there might be if you had one of those three legalized uses decide to apply for a license in your location. You can adopt another moratorium, or you can choose to adopt a ban. At this stage, my advice continues to be not to enact a ban, because I think you are exposing yourself to some tremendous liability, and I am not comfortable with the prospect of having to defend that action. You can adopt either zoning on a permanent basis, or you can adopt zoning on an interim basis. I've had clients adopt interim zoning, and I've had some clients adopt permanent zoning. Or you can continue to consider a moratorium. Moratorium is an option, and it's an attractive option from the standpoint that it would be nice not to spend all of our resources chasing a rabbit down the hole that may never be the rabbit we chase down the hole. We don't have a lot of resources to take one direction and then have to undo it and take an entirely new direction once the courts or the legislature take action. However, there is always the risk when you continue to adopt moratoriums that somebody will challenge you with the claim that you are in essence adopting a ban by virtue of rolling what they call rolling moratoriums. So if you do adopt a moratorium, I would encourage you to, as part of that moratorium, adopt a work plan that will allow you to move forward at a planning level to consider some of these issues that have justified the moratorium, rather than using it as a placeholder, if you will, to delay taking any action. Because I think if you are at least working and can factually demonstrate that you are working towards a resolution, then you will be able to present a defense if you were ever challenged on the rolling moratorium allegation. I wish I had better information for you, but this is where we are at today, and there won't be any definite answers for a lengthy period of time.
Council?
Correct. And I've talked to the city attorney for Wenatchee, and of course that was one of the primary reasons that the Wenatchee Council decided to impose the ban, was in reliance on the Attorney General's opinion. As I indicated to all of my clients when the AG's office issued that opinion, although that opinion is entitled to wait in consideration by a court reviewing that issue, it is not binding precedent for a court, and it is one attorney's opinion. So the Wenatchee case, if it goes forward, will be a test if you will, to determine whether or not the Attorney General was right. And it may be that the Attorney General's opinion is upheld by the court, but, you know, people always ask me, what are my chances of winning in court? And I always tell them, 50-50.
So that's better probably to just stick with the moratorium at this point and see what's going to happen in the next legislation instead of chasing our tails.
Yeah, as I said, the moratorium is still an option, but I do think you need to pair that with some sort of a work plan that your planning commission is going to start working on, looking at what kinds of regulations, if that's the direction you end up going.
Yeah. Definitely. You got to show them something. You can't, Eugene, you can't just sit back and keep throwing moratoriums out there. I mean, you might as well ban it. You know?
Right. I understand that 100%. I didn't say they'd do nothing.
Yep. So in doing a moratorium, we can put in a time frame?
Yes.
Like we did on the first one?
Yes.
6 months, we come back with an answer to where we could be, could zone these things.
With a work plan. Okay?
Yep.
So?
If that's council's consensus, I will bring back an ordinance at the next meeting for council's consideration. I would suggest then that you also schedule your public hearing for the same evening, just so you don't have to bifurcate the process.
Sounds good.
Could the public hearing be part of the planning commission process?
Well, the public hearing that I'm talking about is required for the adoption of a moratorium.
For the moratorium itself.
But you could certainly have the planning commission conduct public hearings to solicit input on, right?
Personally, I think there's a lot of unanswered questions, and to go ahead and adopt an ordinance that I think there's some more questions need answered first. So I think Catherine's advice about a moratorium, Eugene's suggestion, and the rest of the council, I think that's a good idea. Mm-hmm. And with that, what do we have before us?
Nothing. If that's the council's consensus, I will bring an ordinance back at the next meeting. If council could just make a motion then to schedule a public hearing for that date.
Okay, that's, I think, item 4.5.
So this will cover all forms of recreational sales, grow operations, everything?
Correct.
Okay.
All right. Moving on to item 4.5, we have a consensus on 4.4. Catherine's going to bring back a revised ordinance. Is that correct, Catherine?
Yes.
And then on item 4.5, consideration to set public hearing on the marijuana zoning moratorium. We'll set I need a motion to approve setting the public hearing for Monday, June 23rd.
Make that motion.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. 4.6. Selection for skate park design firm, Molly.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. We're here today to talk about the skate park that Council may remember reviewing to move forward with during the budget process for 2014. During the process, the Council decided that they would like to move forward with constructing a skate park. The City Council has been putting away money since 2010 to be able to build a skate park for the city. And now that we have pursued that, staff and the Council Parks and Rec Committee, as well as a group of what we're calling our skate park interest group, which is a group of skaters here in Othello, have worked together to we worked together to put together requests for qualifications for a design firm for the skate park. We put together a list of the needs and wants of both local skaters as well as from the City Council members that are on the committee. And with those, we published a request for qualifications on February 27th. We received seven submissions from various skate park design firms across the country, which was a really good turnout for us. It was awesome to see all the options that we were able to kind of review, and it also gave us some more ideas as to kind of what we can look for in a design and a design firm, and just really opened our eyes to a lot of the selection process, as well as the options that are available for kind of, you know, what Othello can have for a skate park. So when the Parks and Rec Committee and the Skate Park Interest Group reviewed those submissions, we decided to shortlist three design firms: Grindline Skate Parks from Seattle, Spawn Ranch Skate Parks from Los Angeles, and Bernardo Wills Architects, which are out of Spokane, who partnered with American Ramp Company, who are out of Joplin, Missouri. And when we sent out that request for more information, the first request for qualifications did not include the city's budget. We wanted to kind of open it up to various responses and kind of see if people were willing to do their homework, to look into Othello and really pick up on what the city wanted to see for a skate park. And so with that, that's kind of how we had used, that's one of the formulas we used to narrow down our three selections for our shortlisted firms, as well as we made a list of the different needs and wants and checked them off to make sure that these three companies had those as well. And so after reviewing those shortlisted firm submissions, the Council Parks and Rec Committee and the Skate Park Interest Group elected to move forward and choose to and have recommended choosing Spawn Ranch Skate Parks to design the future City of Othello Skate Park. So if you look at the attachments that are with this, the Spawn Ranch shortlist design response submission, you'll see a skate park design that the committee and the our skate park interest group was very interested in. It's a very open design, and so given the needs and wants that we published, the committee and our skate park interest group really felt like they picked up on what we were looking for with this design. So there's a number of street style elements that the city that we had wanted: painted concrete or stamped concrete, stairs, rails, manual pads. There's also a bowl portion. There's not a lot of wasted space. And so that's one of the reasons why we've chosen to recommend moving forward to enter into contract negotiations with Spawn Ranch Skate Parks. The location for the skate park, it has been recommended that would be between the large north shelter in Lions Park, between that and the hockey rink. There's a natural swale to that area, so that we hope that will help with excavation costs and will kind of help to lighten the burden on the city's budget. And the another thing or another point that I'd like to make about Spawn Ranch, they noted their ability to kind of work with not only our skate park interest group, but also different companies within the community to hopefully get some in-kind donations for whether it's construction work or landscaping to really pursue those options. So the city is also, you know, doesn't have to be burdened with that on our budget as well, and we can get more bang for our buck. And so with that, we have some members of our skate park interest group today. If the council is interested in asking them any questions, and I'm happy to accept any questions as well or answer any questions. So if council would like to discuss.
The young man. You guys, yeah.
I'm Raven.
I'm Rigo.
And you're from Othello?
Yes.
Yes. What do you guys think about this?
We really like the design. Like, it has everything we wanted, and it doesn't waste space, so it's really good. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like,
you guys can live with this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And plus, it's not like phased out, so it could like be done.
Have you guys asked Molly when she's going to have it done?
No.
That's probably our next question. Anything you want to add to what Molly said?
No, she did a good job. I mean, I'm really excited because we were here almost a year ago, exactly, during the summer. We came with Dan, and he's the one that started it all out. And we're really excited, and we're happy to see that actually continued and grow to what it is now.
So you're talking about Dan Deaver?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks.
And one thing I'd like to note with council is when we do, if the council does decide to move forward and enter into contract negotiations for the design of the skate park, this will not be the exact design that we end up with. They very much expressed an interest in tailoring it a little bit more. This is a design that they have used before and was pretty much exactly what we wanted. And so what they would like to do is, you know, work with us and the skate park interest group a little more, see if there's any things that they need to tweak or move. But this gives the council an overall a view and idea of kind of what we look for in the future for the design of the skate park. So at this point, we're just asking the council to approve us to move forward with contract negotiations for the design of the skate park with Spawn Ranch Skate Parks.
Council, do you have any questions of Molly?
And this was all budgeted in already, and everything set aside and ready for it, so.
Excellent. Good work, Molly.
Thank you.
Council, I entertain a motion to enter into a design agreement with Spawn Ranch from L.A.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
We have a motion made and seconded. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Item 4.7, moving along in our agenda, revised resolution for Columbia Basin Health Association Health Fair. I think they just want to change the date one Saturday. Is that correct?
They do. The Columbia Basin Health Association, after the health fair was approved at the last council meeting, they noted that they would actually like to move the date to Saturday, August 9th, as that basically kicks off the beginning of National Health Center Week, and so that works perfectly with CBHA. And so all the details would stay the same use of the park request, use of the park shelters. They will still pay the $200 special event fee. They would just, they just have requested to move the date back one Saturday.
Anything else interfering with that at all? No requests being made by any other citizen groups or anything?
Not the American Fiesta Amistad weekend, is it?
Nothing else on your calendar?
Yes, but no. It's not in the same park.
Okay.
But that was it. Sorry. Note that was the Columbia Basin Health Association's note to move it, and their board, their planning commission did request that date, so.
Okay. Council?
I don't believe we have anything going on at Kiwanis Park for the Fiesta on the side, so I don't see that it would interfere anyway.
Okay. Any other comments, clarifications? Entertain a motion to approve the change request for Columbia Basin Health to the new day.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Moving along. Item 4.8, review discussion of recommended restrictions to fireworks code ordinance. Molly?
Thank you again. Staff has recently met with members of the City Council to discuss possible restrictions to put in place on the recently approved lifted fireworks ban and approval to allow those to be sold. and discharged within the city of Othello. When the council committee met, we noted a number of, the council committee had noted a number of ordinances and different points in the ordinances that they would like to look into and possibly add to the city of Othello's municipal code regarding fireworks. And one of those, there's four additions to that, and the council will see that in their attachments as well as on the agenda memo. The council committee elected to note the fireworks that they would like to have prohibited, as well to basically provide an outline to the citizens that basically what's approved and what's not approved, and then to also fall back on any fireworks that are not deemed safe and sane by the WAC code as well. And those are listed out in the attached municipal code for you to review. Also, dates and times allowed for sales and use. The dates for discharge, the council committee has elected to recommend July 2nd through July 3rd from 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. on the 4th between 6 p.m. and 12 midnight, and then from December 31st at 6 p.m. to 1 a.m. on January 1st. The fireworks can be sold in the city during the period commencing at 12 noon on the 20th day of June, and will end at 12 noon on the 6th day of July of each year. And then also, there is one off-limit area that the council committee recommended, and that would be City of Othello Parks, and that would be for both discharge and sales of fireworks. And lastly, the council committee elected to recommend a minimum age requirement. This was basically adopted somewhat similar to that of the city of West Richland, except the council elected to note that it shall be unlawful for any person or corporation to sell or give fireworks to anyone under 18 years of age rather than 16, which is imposed in the city of West Richland. It shall be unlawful for a parent, guardian, or other responsible for child under 16 to possess, use, or discharge, transport fireworks. So basically, after that, it's 16 years of age as long as they're supervised, but you cannot sell them to anyone under the age of 18.
I just got one question. Why would we sell them the 5th and the 6th if they're not allowed to be lit off on the 5th and the 6th?
Would the council committee would like to
weigh in on that? Who decided who the council committee was going to be with regard to this?
Corey.
Who decided? Yeah. It wasn't discussed in a council meeting. Who decided that this was going to be the fireworks committee?
I did.
Okay.
So the restrictions then are to shoot fireworks, to allow fireworks to be discharged for 3 days at the 4th of July, and again December 31st in the evening. The selling period, however, is the 28th, starts on the 28th of June. According to basically mirrors the state law, the selling period, but the discharge period is constricted to those days from those times.
This ordinance won't be adopted until next year, correct?
Correct.
The rules won't take into effect until next
okay.
year.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't want to rush through this ordinance right now, especially when I haven't had any input into this ordinance at all. I don't like the fact that me being the only person that voted no for the repeal of the ordinance wasn't included on this committee. So this is where we're supposed to have open discussion, and what is it they called it? Talk openly and freely. In the public forum. I just don't think that we should rush through this to make an ordinance that won't go into effect until next year anyway. because we're going to go by the state law today, right now, for what you guys passed. That's what's going to govern us. So we got plenty of time to deal with this.
Gina?
We have to have this passed by a certain date in order for it to go into effect by next year. What is that date?
Well, the ordinance, if you're adopting something more restrictive than the state guidelines, will have a lag time of 1 year from the date of adoption.
So we need to adopt it by the 23rd of June.
So we have until then to, to discuss.
Let me recharacterize what this is on the agenda so that everybody's clear. This is just a discussion, and this is where the discussion continues. This is basically a committee report. However, it's not necessarily what will end up, or what we will have end up on June 23rd to adopt. So between now and the 23rd of June, I would recommend that the council review these changes and make recommendations to staff of what you would like to see changed, and then we will have that discussion and finalize it on the 23rd.
Okay, so the motion that starts this is not a motion?
Okay.
The motion...
There is a motion if we wanted to adopt it, but if we're not ready to adopt it, we can keep it open for...
No, and I agree with you. We're not. I don't think we're ready to adopt it. First of all, there's a ban on Roman candles, and I don't like that ban. But that's open for discussion, just like everything else is. So I think we do need to do some more work on it, and I think that those suggestions should be submitted to staff. And then they will be compiled, and that information will be discussed in the open meeting on the 23rd. And then we'll adopt.
Okay. That's good enough for me.
Is that process okay with you, Catherine?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Do we need to make a motion to table it tonight?
Well, it was just on for discussion.
No. Okay. Yeah, it's just for discussion tonight, and no means is this written in stone now. It was just a starting point to look at.
Well, I opened it up and I see the form of a motion to accept the changes, and then I see a resolution of changes, so I just want to have my 2 cents.
Okay. You'll get them. Okay. Any further discussion on the agenda item of recommending the restrictions of the fireworks code? Well, thank the committee for meeting, and they met with Molly. So I guess, Wade, should we have the council submit those questions and revisions that they want to see in this order? Do you want to kind of guide the process here, please?
Yeah, if we could give them to us before the Wednesday before the 23rd, whatever, I don't have a calendar in front of me, whatever that is, that'll give us time to incorporate it and put out an agenda memo with those changes in it for you guys to look at and come prepared to discuss. So so a week, I guess, from Wednesday.
18th.
Is that the 18th? Thanks, Jim. Happen to us, and having Molly, she'll tell them all together and put it back in an agenda with the changes, remember the changes. Okay?
Okay, thank you, Molly.
Thank you.
I have a question. Is item 4.9 still on our agenda?
For discussion, yes.
Okay.
The City Council awarded a contract for gasoline and diesel fuel for all city departments to Lawrence Oil. The term of the original contract was July of 2011 through July of 2013. The contract provided that the current terms could be extended for one additional year upon mutual agreements of the party. Lawrence Oil has requested a one-year extension of the agreement with all the other terms and conditions remaining unchanged. At this point, I need to refer to our city attorney about extension of the one-year contract.
I had Debbie send me up a copy of the actual ad that was sent out when you solicited your fuel quotes when you entered into this contract. And unfortunately, that advertisement was specific in asking for quotes for a three-year contract. So in order for you to extend this one, you need to keep it under the bid law limits, which would mean you'd have to keep the extension under a cost to the city of $7,500. We had Spencer pull the monthly billings for the fuel to find out what that would look like in terms of duration, and it looks like that would be a two-month maximum extension. In the meantime, staff would then draft a new advertisement requesting proposals for the succeeding period of time. Obviously, we would hope that the existing vendor would be one of those submitting a bid. But in that new advertisement, we can incorporate language that solicits a three-year contract with the option for some extensions. And that way, everybody is bidding at the same time on the same package, and then we would be able to, if we wanted to, after 3 years, extend the contract pursuant to that provision. So at this point, then we would be maybe asking the council to consider making a motion to extend the current contract for a maximum period of 2 months so that staff has time to get the new request for proposals drafted and sent out and can get some figures back so that we know who we're dealing with for the next relationship.
Council. The motion would be to extend the current contract for 2 months to August 31st.
I'd entertain a motion.
Resume. I make that motion.
Okay. Second. Motion made and second. Is there any further discussion or questions of the staff? All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 4.10, fireworks stand permits application update.
In the continued development of our fireworks ordinance and the way we're going to do business, we continue to research what it would take to issue permits and what that involved. It turns out that to have a permit to sell fireworks in the city, you also have to have a permit from the state to do that. And those applications have to be in by May 1st. So this year, unless somebody already has a state permit, they won't be able to sell fireworks in the city. So Debbie, correct me if I'm wrong, but we've had no applications right now. So we probably will see that this year, which is probably just as well given where we are in the process. The other thing we discovered was the $500 permit fee applies only to people doing public displays. So if you're having a private party or something or some kind of organization, you have to pay a $5 permit fee. That covers our, you know, cost of fire department coverage, that sort of thing, supposedly. However, the state also stipulates that for regular firework stands, the most we can charge them is $100 per season. So we're not going to be able to recoup the $500. So this is information only for the council as we move forward on this. Any questions?
Council? Thank you, Wade.
Okay, thanks.
Moving on to item 4.11, ordinance amending OMC Title IV business licensing and regulations. Debbie has a report.
Thank you, Mayor. Our staff has reviewed the business license section of the municipal code, and we used the report that Code Publishing put together last year regarding their review of our municipal code. The only changes in the proposed ordinance that you see tonight is to bring our business license codes up to state standards and to meet it with our current practices at the FCC. So there was a lot of changes from the city treasurer to the finance department. We have some changes in RCWs and WACs. Everything else is just very basic. Staff would like to request that council carry a motion to adopt the ordinance as presented tonight. And there's one more offer books.
Counsel, do you have any questions? Entertain a motion then?
I'll make the motion to adopt an ordinance of the City of Othello amending Title IV titled Business Licenses and Regulations.
Second. Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Moving along to item 4.12. Debbie?
In 2012, the Independent Salary Committee was appointed to establish the salaries of the elected officials. Their salary recommendations were implemented in June of 2012. If you look in the Othello Municipal Code, it still provides for the salaries before the increases. So the first ordinance presented tonight will repeal the current section of the Municipal Code that lists the salaries before any increases. And then we have a second ordinance that provides the language for the new salary established by the Independent Salary Committee. Staff recommends council consider the two ordinances. I would like to ask for two different motions to approve each one separately.
Council, do you have any questions, Debbie? Clarification?
So that would be 4.12 and then 4.13 is what you're referring to.
The first
to.
One is repealing sections 2.44.
Okay. Council?
Is this just so that we get things in line with
right,
what they
right.
should be?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. I'd entertain a motion on the first item.
I'll make that a motion to repeal sections 2.44 and 2.010 and 2.44.020.
We have a motion. Okay.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion made and seconded. Is there any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Second item, I'd entertain a motion.
I'll make the motion amending chapter 2.42 to add sections 2.42.070 and 2.42.080.
Second.
We have a motion made and seconded. Is there any discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Is there any unfinished business? Item number 5 on our agenda. Is there any new business to come before the City Council? I have two announcements, Mayor's announcements. First one is tomorrow night is the Lions Club annual auction at the Senior Center. Come one, come all. Is that right, Wade?
That's right.
Yep. On Wednesday morning, the City Administrator Wade and I will have a phone conference call with the Proffman Company about the police chief interview process that we're going to follow. We have 31 applicants for police chief, and they have done an extensive background check and interviews, pre-interviews, and they have narrowed that down to 5 finalists, which will be interviewed by the committee. That committee is members of council. Are all invited to participate in that. The members of the judiciary in the county, the juvenile department, the Adams County Sheriff, the fire department, and a number of different, some of the, I believe, a line officer will participate in that process, and a number of interested community members. So we have a very large broad cross-section of people helping us in that process, offering their input, and I think that will probably take place sometime later this month or early into July. So that's the latest update on what's taking place with the replacement of our police chief. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll move into the amended agenda ordinance item, executive session, potential litigation. And I would like to ask for about 15 minutes, and I'd like to have Doug Jordan and Terry remain. Okay, we're coming back into regular session, and with no further business before the council, council has taken no action as a result of our executive session. So with that, I will adjourn the meeting.